big time. Blog right
Talk Radio.
Nice.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is
what?
My name is
Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Oh yeah, let's get it.
Never get
yes,
sold.
Sir.
Never get sold that good.
Nope.
My fellas are here. Going up on a Tuesday.
Should have Curtis on the line with us too.
You got Curtis
on the line.
Yep, I'm here.
How we doing, Curtis?
How you doing? Doing good, sir?
Every day above ground for me is a good day. Every day above ground is a good day.
No doubt. We are concurring with that. Man, fellas, it's great to see you guys again. Welcome to another amazing edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We are cruising right along in the month of February the 9th, if you will. And looks like Gary has a glass of wine to celebrate. As always, Rob is looking pretty GQ with the Pelicans hat. We see JQ representing the Lakers. Gary got the Cowboys. It's all good, bro. I'm sporting my old school Hank Aaron, if you will, the old school Braves, man. So we're showing a lot of love here, as always. Curtis, you're missing
very nice.
A good picture here, man. But again, let's get this party started.
I think
man.
You win
Tell
with
us.
The Hank Aaron jersey tonight.
Appreciate that, man. This was like one of my pride and joy when I got this, man. Oh, it was beautiful, man. Because this is the only jersey that I was saving up for this one, man. So feels nice, man. It looks great. Feels nice. Having Marcus.
You're probably gonna sleep in it
hat,
tonight.
Man.
You still in love with it, eh?
Oh man, good stuff, man. I ain't gonna sleep in it. There's not that much love, man. But it's
shit.
Oh,
not that all white jersey. You bet not.
I'm not sleeping.
Well, if you'd held still, we could have actually seen it.
I know, right? Nothing, bro.
I thought we were cool, man. I didn't say anything.
Hey, guess
to
what?
Bro.
Check this out, guys. Hey,
I was pretty excited. I was trying to get like a good shot of it, and then I was gonna show the back part, you know, like you know, see like the, you know, but the
yeah,
side,
see, there you go
know,
again.
Like,
it's like an instant replay.
Let's get a show started.
He can't,
Gary's
he can't show
fire.
You the scenes. He might have got off a wish.
Yes.
It's all good.
I kid.
How you feeling, bro? You doing good, man?
I can't complain, man. Chilling out the house. Work is a little crazy, but got me a couple rounds in the past 2 days. And hung out with the wife a little bit this past weekend. Watched that sorry ass game, but you know, I'm good.
Very sorry.
Yeah, it was very
Thanks.
Sorry. So, I agree with that. We'll talk about
I
that.
I went to bed when it was 28-9, to be honest.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah,
come on, man.
That other angelic voice. Rob, how you doing, bro? You in Tampa, man. You not celebrating, man? You going to party or anything like that?
No, man. I'm celebrating, man.
You ain't celebrating?
They was out here. Wow, man.
If I hear
oh my God,
Tampa Bay
videos?
One more time. But I will say this, though. Being in Tampa after seeing the team win the Super Bowl versus being in New Orleans when the Saints won the Super Bowl, New Orleans was 10 times more lit. I don't know if it was because of the pandemic, but New Orleans was way more lit when the Saints won the Super Bowl back then.
Oh, no. Have you seen the pictures and the videos? They was out there. Wow.
Yeah, there were some dumbasses out there. No masking. You know, no social distancing.
They're going to have a
acting
parade
like a bunch
tomorrow.
Of idiots.
What kind of foolishness is that?
They said they were doing
that's
a parade,
ridiculous.
Yeah. But it's yesterday and today, the city has been very quiet.
They had to get some rest. They acted like monkey on Sunday.
the calm before the storm is real, man. So it's all good. How you feeling, Rob? Feeling good in spite of all that, man?
Oh, yeah, man. Feeling great, man. You know, got 2 doses of asparagus again, waiting on my 2 doses of the vaccine.
Oh, my gosh, this guy. All right, Jerry, what's up, bro? How you feeling, man?
You know, it's one day at a time.
Uh-huh.
Just like what Curtis says, in my house it's the same thing with my dad, but he was in good spirits today. He wanted me to do the podcast in the house. I'm in my motorhome again. He wanted me to do the podcast in the house, but then he wanted to watch the Blazer game, and I said, you know, sorry, Dad, I can't. I got to go out here. I don't want to. You know, he doesn't see very well, so he's got to have the volume up. I said, so I'll be in as soon as I'm done.
Priorities, Gary, priorities. It's all good, man.
How's the Blazers doing against the Magic? Last I saw, they were winning.
Last I saw, they were up by 13. I don't know what the score is now.
They're up 7 at halftime.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, okay. There it is. Hey, what's up, Curtis? You feeling good, bro?
Of course, they showed the Orlando Magic games here in Tampa, so.
Oh, man, I'm doing good. It was a nice sunny day here in Portland. A nice sunny day here in Portland today.
That's a rarity.
It's a beautiful day.
That's a rarity.
And I have a house that captures all of it. And it just makes it really nice.
That's great. It's good to hear. I was thinking, fellas, even if we somehow, some way, we're not in the middle of a pandemic, would we really actually celebrate what happened? I don't know. We'll have to talk about it in a quick second, too. So, again, you know, let's jump in, get to these topics, if you will. The number to call on the show is everyone called in. We always got to throw out the numbers, if you will. It's always the same every single week, the 424-243-9519. Follow us on that. Hit us up on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And go to the Facebook page, which is facebook.com/talkingsports and 12th Man or 12th Man Sports. And again, Rob has posted another mock draft a couple hours ago. So again, we're going to get into that some fodder. I think Rob has gone through at least 10 different picks here, 10 different mock drafts. So we'll talk about that and his thoughts for this week, if you will. So, gentlemen, I guess let's get right into it. I know I was kind of texting out, a little upset about some things with what happened with Sunday's game. And I guess the number one question we have out the gate, and I'm throwing this to Rob, since he's in Tampa, is that did the officials determine the outcome of the Super Bowl? Rob, you get the first crack at it, sir. The floor is yours.
No. I mean, were there some questionable calls in the game? Absolutely. You can probably say that about every game, but I definitely don't think it determined the outcome of the game. Absolutely not. I mean, the bottom line is the Chiefs got the ass kicked, and Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy, in my opinion, is to blame. They made no adjustments in that game at all. They didn't do any kind of max protection to help Patrick Mahomes out in that football game. Just by every time he dropped back to pass, they only had 5 blockers in there. You knew you're down a couple of starters on the offensive line. There was no max protection at all, no backs back to help chip and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
It was a horrible game plan, and it didn't adjust. They were very stubborn. They just thought they can just do that and throw the ball down the field. But you got to have the protection in order to get the ball down the field. They didn't incorporate a short passing game to try to offset the rush. They didn't try to do any draw plays, things of that nature. It was a horrible game plan by Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy. And then, on top of that, no adjustments. And then the Buccaneers defense, you got to give them a lot of credit, too. But also, you got to give a lot of blame to Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy for not making the necessary adjustments throughout that football game.
Right.
And they were out-coached, they were out-classed, they were out-played. And the bottom line is, on Sunday, the Bucs were clearly the better football team. And, hey, shout out to Devin White and Leonard Fournette. LSU, both of them played a solid football game. And, you know, they They just dominated the football game. I mean, there's nothing you can say about the referees that impacted this game.
How can you say Robert Sturgeon?
The only thing I would say, that the referees did was they impacted the margin of victory. But I think the Buccaneers would still would have won that game. You touched on it. Devin White and Shaq Barrett and Levante David and JPP just ran amok on that Chiefs offensive line in that game. It was, and we talked about it before we got up there last week. And I was like, that was my fear for Patrick Mahomes, was the fact that what would they do down both their tackles. And that stat I read, that he ran for almost 497 yards in that game before he threw a pass or took off the run. Like, can you imagine being on your life, on the run for your life for almost 500 yards over a fourth quarter game? I was watching it with my homeboy. I was like, are they just not going to run the ball? Yeah, and I mean, they just say, hey, we got a quarterback with a banged-up offensive line on a bad toe. You know what? We just ain't going to run the ball today. We're just going to draw back and throw it just from the get-go. I was watching that game like, what are y'all doing? Like, to your point, put in some extra tight ends, or at least try to shorten it, run the game. Don't get that dude killed. I don't really know. People have been killing Mahomes the stat line, and I was like, if you watch that game, they were like, say he was under pressure on 55% of his dropbacks. That's by far the most that's ever happened to him in a football game. They were all over him. What else do you want that dude to do? I'm with you on that 100%, Rob. The enemy and Andy Reid, and I wonder if some of that with Andy Reid for sure is his son, you know, being involved in that accident a couple of days before the Super Bowl. So there was talk to Andy Reid
about
not go coaching the game. So I wonder if, you know, it takes away your mental, your preparation, your ability to play college, and you're worried about your son, which rightfully so.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, Kansas City just had everything going against them between injuries and then that. And like Rob said, he's got their butt kicked. I think if they call that and everybody's been okay with the rest, I think the Bucs still win by at least double digits.
Yeah.
You know, the interesting thing about the stat you just mentioned, JQ, the 497-yard running Patrick Mahomes through the football, I think on the opposite side, Brady was only 30-something yards. I think it's like a huge difference. So that it goes to show you Tampa Bay controlled the line of scrimmage on both offense and defense.
Well, what I would say about it is Bruce Arians had his team ready to play. Andy Reid did not have his people ready to play. And I think one of the key pieces with what Bruce Arians did is he had his linebackers undercut Kelce. So he couldn't get any of those underneath little quick throwouts under pressure. Let's get it out to Kelce and let's get, you know, and let's let Kelce make something happen. How many times did those linebackers undercut them, knock the pass down, you know, be right there with him, along with that great pass rush that they had on him? You know who Mahomes reminded me of quite a bit is he reminded me of Fran Tarkenton when Fran Tarkenton was going against you know, the Steelers, you know,
running backwards,
you know, he was sometimes he was 20, 30 yards behind the line of scrimmage, you know, when he was running and they were all over him. But I will give Mahomes credit. There were times when he was completely sideways and he flipped that ball out there 40 yards to a receiver that could have caught those,
who dropped
those
it.
Passes.
Yeah,
that
who dropped
them. Three times that happened. Yeah. That could have been changing the outcome of this game. But, you know, when your quarterback is in duress like he was all game long, and you get the ball to a receiver, you know, and it's in arm's length of you, it's in your area to say to bail out that quarterback, that is your primary job, and they failed him miserably.
Yep.
Curtis, what do you got?
What I want to say is, yeah, I'm blaming Andy Reid. He didn't make any adjustments.
Well,
that coaching staff didn't make any adjustments. There was some drop balls. Even Kelce dropped a good ball. And it was horrible to watch. But I remember a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
The last time that Tampa Bay won the Super Bowl, it was against Rich Gannon's Raiders. And I was thinking the Raiders were going to win that Super Bowl. And my brother corrected me. My brother said Rich Gannon is not any kind of quarterback when he has a pass rush put on him. And with Warren Sapp and Brooks and the team that Tampa Bay had then, my brother was right. We saw the Raiders not be able to get that game in. And the two Super Bowls that Brady lost to the Giants, if you remember, the line of the Giants was all on Brady and kept him away from being, you know, when Brady's comfortable, he can kill you. But when he's uncomfortable, he's not that guy.
Well, he was comfortable, and he was that guy.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, I think I heard my guy jumping in here. Go ahead, Luke. You were talking about, I can hear you kind of like making some noise in the background there.
You mean about Sunday's game? Oh, boy. Not what I hoped for.
Yeah.
Not what I was looking for. It went completely the opposite as I thought it was going to go.
Wow. How so?
Well, I wasn't expecting a blowout, number one. I expected Mahomes to be on his game, but he wasn't. And, you know, I mean, not for nothing, but Chiefs off, the Chiefs defense was just flat.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, I think the consensus that we all talked about was, I mean, I kind of agree a little bit everyone's assessment about Andy Reid just, you know, not preparing the squad because, you know, he didn't run the ball enough, I don't think. And then, you know, at least he would have came out like running. At least he would have caught that defense off guard a little bit. You know, I know they were prepared definitely. And just you would think you would have had a different, you know, adjustment, if you will. And like we talked about, you know, the tackles are down. Hey, just, you know, let him get a couple runs, kind of get him settled down, then kind of have Patrick Mahomes do his thing too. But that defense was prepared. I kind of disagree about the officials as far as, like, there's some depth of some calls, especially the two that they had the field goal, and they call that back, and they get a touchdown on that, too. And it's just tough, man, because you keep giving Tom opportunities, you have to take advantage of it. And he just keeps getting opportunities. And the PI, that was just like, I mean, I know they were definitely, you know, all defensive backs are going to, you know, hold at certain, you know, times, too. But sometimes, like, let them play. You know, this is what the Super Bowl is about, let them play. And just – again, I agree with you that the Bucs were going to definitely win, JQ, too, but just felt like, again, one of the situations where, man, you can't keep giving that opportunity, and that's exactly what seemed to happen.
Well, Andy Reid, you scored a touchdown, and you got the opportunity. Tech was trying to just go into the half and run the ball, and you called the timeouts and left them. They said, okay, really? F you. We're going to go into the locker room. Now we're just going to go down the field and put in your eye. Like, part of that's Andy Reid, too. He was trying to be greedy.
Yeah.
He was going to get the ball to start the second half. It was going to be 14 to 10 going into the half. Like, what are you doing? Like, no, don't 14 to 6. It would have been 14-6 going into the half. You're going to get the ball back to start the second half. They got greedy and they got burst and it ended up being 21-6. And to me, that was the game time right there when they let that happen.
That's true. And I think that you have Patrick Mahomes. He's probably thinking that, you know, if he's got Mahomes, he can probably go down and score pretty quickly. That's probably what he was thinking. Wasn't a good situation. You know, it's kind of one of those things, right? If he does it, he's great. If he doesn't, and what happened? We saw that they scored, too. So it's one of those
now
things.
Now we got Tom Brady. Now we're going to get Tom Brady. Because if you go into that game saying, okay, I held Tom Brady to 14 points in the first half, you didn't really think you were going to keep him pretty much around that 25-28 mark, right? So at 14, if you're going to have only given up 14, in your mind, if you're being honest with yourself, that's about where I would be okay with, because that translates to about 28 points in the game. You figure we're going to score 28 points to be close, then we got a ball game. They got greedy. When Tom Brady has those weapons and they're content to go in the locker room, you let them go in the locker room, especially when you get the ball back to start the second half. I thought that was when he called the first one, I said it, and then they went down the field and was like, well.
Yeah.
Well,
JQ,
the one thing that I would say about the game is, you know, that defensive back for Kansas City, Matthews, I think is his name, you know, trying to trash talk Brady and just ridiculous. That was dumb. You know, keep your mouth shut, play the game, and don't give him fuel for the fire. And, you know, that's Rob's boy that got his ass kicked. from LSU.
The stupidest.
That was the stupidest player. Other than the coach. Other than the coach, he was the dumbest player on that field.
And they had that pick. He had that pick, and then he gets the penalty. I'm like, it's just like everything just went like awry, if you will, too. So it's just,
yeah,
just not good.
Another quick thing on Patrick Mahomes, too. If you recall, last year in the Super Bowl against the 49ers, he got off to a sluggish start in that game, too. Had a couple of picks. I mean, thankfully, they were able to come back and win. But, you know, two Super Bowls here, and he did not play his best football, in my opinion, either one of those games. I mean, they were able to still put it out last year. But, you know, not the best performances so far out of Mahomes in two Super Bowls. So that's something to look at. Hopefully it's something to motivate them, you know, going forward. But not the best Super Bowl performances out of Mahomes, who is, you know, arguably definitely the best quarterback in the game today.
There it is.
Well,
all right, let's keep it quick here.
One thing I saw, it looked like to me that Mahomes wasn't giving up, and he was trying his best. His team let him down. I didn't see any quit in Mahomes. I did not see any quit in Patrick Mahomes.
No, he got smashed and his head got turned upside down. I was like, woo! Yeah, that was rough.
But what I want to say, for me, the game was over. You know, they did that screw up at halftime. They came out at halftime. They drove the ball and ended up kicking another field goal. Field goals were not going to win this game. And if you guys can't get in the end zone, and they weren't able to get in the end zone, the game was over.
There it is.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to go to topic number three here, because I'm going to hopefully have enough time to get everything in. I'm glad, Rob, that you put in about Robert Horry. And I know it's kind of a, you know, big shot Bob, if you will. The seven rings, and we're actually, me and Marcia are going back and forth because, you know, they're like talking about, is Tom Brady the greatest of all time because he's got seven rings? You're like, wait a minute, there's other people that have done this. And we were literally talking about Serena Williams, who's got 23. I mean, we're talking about, you know, Bill Russell that's at 13. We're talking about Tiger Woods has like 23, if I'm not mistaken. Verify that one too. He's got even Mike Tyson, something crazy like that. All these people have like numbers of championships. So so it's just like everyone's like putting Tom Brady. No. Other people have won championships, if you will. Let's not, you know, again, I mean, I'm not, like, crapping on them, but I'm just basically saying that other people have done some good stuff. But we're going to talk about Robert Horry, Rob, Big Shot Bob, as he was called. Seven rings. Is he legit, or as legit as Tom Brady, if you will?
Hell no.
Awesome.
No, that dude was crazy, man. Have you read that story? He was like, oh, people don't buy you my seven rings like they should. Like, bro, do you see who you play with? If you don't get out of here, stop it. Talk about, you know, Hakeem and you, Shaq and Kobe.
You
like,
hit the shot.
Duncan, I get all that. But if he was the reason why he was wide open is because he's Robert Horry, and he's not Shaquille O'Neal and Kobe Bryant. So let's just calm down. You know, like, I love Robert Horry. Big shot, Bob, all of it. But you got to know. That's like Steve Kerr calling to like, oh, y'all don't value me enough. I got five of them things, too. So, well, I got one more LeBron. Like, come on. He knows that that's ridiculous. And Robert Horry's got to get out of his stomach a little bit. Like, people that know basketball are going to respect the fact of what you did, bro. You don't have to get out there and throw yourself out there in that craziness. Because then you value yourself because people are just going to tear you apart. So, be cool. People that know basketball all know how good you are. But you say he's Tom Brady. Come on, buddy.
Come on. I mean – is his seven championships legit? Absolutely. But is he?
Yes.
Does he get the credit for the seven championships like Tom Brady gets credit for his? Absolutely not. You know, you cannot compare to. I mean, JQ said it already. You know, he won with Tim Duncan in San Antonio. He won with Hakeem the Dream in Houston. And he won with the Diesel in the L.A. Shaq. All of those guys got double-teamed every time they touched the basketball. Wide-open three-pointers for Robert Horry all day, every day. So, absolutely,
you hit
he
the
was
shot,
not
though.
The focal point on those teams. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he hit the shot.
Big shot, Bob, he could hit the shot. But what I would have asked him is, how many MVPs did you get? You hit the shot. You got 7 rings. How many MVPs did you get for those big shots?
Hit the shot.
He was open because you had all-stars. Right. You had all-stars that were around him. Now, he hit the shot, and there were, and he was fantastic at hitting that shot. But, no, he's not in the conversation. Respect
him.
JR
Smith didn't hit the shot.
No, he's not. But what I would say, guess what? He had ice in his veins, and those teams sucked. They seeked him out. They went and got him to do the things that he did. And I actually saw him. I saw him do that twice to the Portland Trailblazers. I saw Big Shot Bob in the Portland Trailblazers' dreams. Like right on script.
Guaranteed championship if I'm on the team. Big Shot Bob. That's what he said. Guaranteed.
Yeah. I saw him, and it was amazing.
Well, I would say he's one of the best role players of all time, for sure.
Yeah.
If I'm on the team, y'all can go to the championship.
And he didn't hesitate. He would kill you. You're done.
Big Shot Bob.
He's got to be probably the best.
But I will say this. I will say this about Brady, because he's been trying to compare to Brady.
Oh, my God.
Brady's having a really good time right now. Because he won the Super Bowl, Bill Belichick didn't even have a winning record. Without
he didn't
him,
even get in the playoffs.
That there's your Bill Belichick for you. What you see is what you get. Now he's going to have to try and do it without Brady. I'm loving it.
I will
say Bill did everything they wanted him to do. Tampa Bay basically built an all-star team of weapons around him. I mean, they had Mike Evans,
good.
Chris Godwin. They,
they
got
Antonio
Brown. They got Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah.
They got
yeah.
Leonard Fournette. I mean, they went out and got an all-star group. And the offensive line got better as the season went along, and it's a big part of why they won these 8 straight games here at Tampa Bay. Then when they were 7-5, the offensive line was really struggling, and teams would put pressure on Brady. But as they regrouped as the season went along, that offensive line got better. It allowed Brady to get the football to his weapons, and they were able to run the football a lot better than what they did in those first 12 games of the season this year.
Their center's an asshole. That dude is going to fight every week.
Point,
right?
That's
He's got
point.
A problem.
Yeah, he was an asshole. Yeah, I'm not betting against JQ ever again, though. And then last but not least, didn't JQ say something like, your boy had, Jameis Winston the year before had, 5,000 yards, something crazy passing. But, dude. They were a good squad, even though freaking Jameis Winston had 30 interceptions, So, again, you can't win like that. So, you keep giving the ball away.
Right.
It's just not right, too. So,
he's
got
to learn to take the ball down.
Yeah. But
he's
got
to learn to take it. That's what Sean Payton has been telling him. Hey, man, you got to learn to take the easy. Sometimes you just got to check the ball down.
I got to send you this. I'll send you this little text about Jameis Winston. I'll be sending that, but we'll talk. But, yeah, good stuff as always, too, gentlemen, too. So, again, I know we were talking about a lot of stuff with the championships and whatnot, too. So we'll bring it back here. Let's talk about your boy. I know it's fun about Russell Wilson. And I guess he's going to ask to be traded in. I guess we'll talk about West Coast, if you will. I'll leave it with Curtis and Gary as far as will – Russell Wilson asked to be traded to Kansas Seahawks be fixed. I will say this about Tom Brady. I was listening to a podcast about defense, believe it or not, and they said that Bill Belichick spent all his time with Tom Brady, so he literally wanted to develop Tom Brady, if you will, too. So he was talking about how, literally every time we talk defense, Tom was always talking to Bill about some things, too, and Bill was always there coaching Tom, if you will, too. So Bill's going to be taking part of that greatness, if you will. Go ahead.
7-9. That's not that great.
He helped.
But as
Tom,
far
as I'm trying to say,
yeah, Tom helped Tom.
Yes.
Okay, so let's get on to Russell Wilson. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think Russell Wilson is going anywhere. I don't think he's going to be traded. In fact, I don't even think that there's a. They just need a few pieces to be right back there again in that conversation for the NFC. I don't think it's just this big rebuild and get rid of Russell Wilson. He's the top three quarterback in this league, and you just can't take a chance on trying drafting somebody else. And I don't think his trajectory is down like you just did. I don't think it is at all. He's an awesome quarterback.
No, I was
he's a playmaker.
The team went down. It was like, man, the defense was – I mean, you got a great offense. You're not going in. We got DK Metcalf.
Yeah, offensive line.
I'm just saying, just like they just – the
yeah,
team
right.
was like
there you go.
Down, you know?
There you go. You beef up that offensive line. You give him time. He's going to keep you in every game. And he's one of those quarterbacks, one of those top four or five quarterbacks in the league that if he's got the ball and he's got a minute or a minute and a half or 45 seconds, he can come down there and he can win that game. Curtis, what do you think on that? Do you think Russell Wilson is going anywhere?
Of course not. He's not going anywhere. But what he's talking about is he wants the same thing that the guy in Houston wants. He wants to stay in personnel, and that's what he was talking about. He wants to stay in personnel. They're not – I mean, these owners, and it probably happens all over the NFL. It might be the white owners don't believe in the black players. And that might be a little bit – that might be an issue with the NFL. I don't want to go there like that. But there's something going on with when the people in the upper echelon really think they're smarter than the players. And they don't give a player a chance to put in any input. And then him and Pete Carroll has a different idea about everything. He wants to run.
Right.
And Pete, you don't have Marshawn Lynch. You don't have those big bad boys.
Lindell White and Reggie Bush are not walking through that door.
Oh my God!
Right.
Chris Carson not a bad running back though.
He's not.
Russell Wilson is screaming. He took way too many hits. He's not going anywhere, like you all have already said. He's just sending a message to the organization. Hey, give me some help and give me some help on that offensive line. And when you got a franchise quarterback, that's what you need. You got to protect the franchise, and they need some help on that offensive line. I mean, they got, dudes about the size of Andre on that offensive line, man. Ain't nobody going to be able to protect their
And he can't block, his own shadow.
But you got Buddy that just got arrested for beating up his girlfriend and damn near killing her. And then they just cut another offensive line the other day after that. So now they're down two of them. You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of what Aaron Rodgers did after they lost. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do. My future is a beautiful mystery. That's the quarterback putting pressure back on the franchise stand. Everybody watching this game knows how good I am. All see where the deficiencies are. So.
Yeah.
You want to keep me happy so you don't have to go through this Deshaun Watson piece. I agree, he's not going anywhere. I think this is just a tactic for him to say. And you see him sitting in the booth with Goodell with Sierra on the other side. He said, "Well, hey, I'm a made man, bro. You better help me out or I'm out." So I think that's just a shot at Seattle. Like you said, you can't just run. You got Lockett and Metcalf on the outside. You got weapons.
Yep.
Carson and Hyde weren't bad as a duo in the backfield. But that offensive line, I think they say he's the most hit or pressured since he's come in the league, and it's by a lot, I believe. So, they've been trying to say, we can skimp here, put on the defense, get this. We can skimp here because Russell Wilson is so good. He's the biggest, thicker guy. He can take those hits and or he can get out of situations and make a bad offensive line look better. Now he's at the age like, that's just so – I want some protection. I'm tired of doing all this running for my life and getting hit. Mm-hmm. Give me an offensive line.
Yep. And dude's got a whine. Mm-hmm. a little bit to get what they want, right? They got to act like little crybabies and whine.
Squeaky wheel.
Get
the oil.
Squeaky wheel gets the grease, though.
Mm-hmm. Look at that decision.
Is that what you, Rob, is that what you do?
They got in the division, they got Aaron Donald and that line in Los Angeles. Last year, when San Francisco went into the Super Bowl, look at the line they had. And another line in the division is Arizona's line. I've seen it myself live. Arizona's line gets after Russell Wilson. That's how they beat. That's how you beat Seattle. You put a rush on Russell.
Everybody was getting after the last 8 games.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. What you got, Liz?
No, I'm just agreeing with that. You know, what you mentioned. You're right about that.
Nice. All right, we're keeping this moving here. Before we have, I definitely want to get some time in for Rob and the mock draft here. So, Rob, we're going to let you kind of talk that because I'm curious as far as a couple things here. Teams were actually calling about Russell Wilson, which I think, you know, he was – everyone has kind of intimated the same thing that he doesn't want to go anywhere. He's just frustrated with as far as that too. So, again, he's been bleeding Seahawks, and at the end of every interview, go Hawks, you know, so he's on point too. So hopefully he'll get that man some help, man, because he is too talented, as everyone talks about too, and you just signed that extension as well too. So all good. Two things, Rob, let's get the mock draft. Kind of curious, we're also Carson Wentz is going to actually end up too, so we'll kind of tie those two as well. But let's talk mock draft, if you will, kind of highlight a couple things here.
On the bench.
Again. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, Russell Wilson, man, you're not going nowhere. Get used to all that rain in Seattle in the winter. You and Sierra, get used to it, bro. You're going to be right there in Seattle. But my draft, I did a 3-round mock, and it's all up posted on our Facebook page. So I'm going to talk a little bit about our teams and maybe a few other teams really quick, and then maybe go over the first round. I'll start with Falcons. You know, in this particular mock, I got the Falcons going with Devonta Smith in the first round. I still see how the Falcons can justify keeping Julio Jones the way he's been injured for the last couple of years. And so, obviously, Devonta Smith, another Alabama wide receiver for the Falcons. In the second round, I got him taking Trayvon Martin, safety from TCU. Very versatile safety, probably can play the free safety, probably can play in the box as well, a strong safety position. And even on passing downs, and they can even play him as a backer too. He's that versatile. So he could easily sneak up into the first round, but in this particular mock, I'm going in the top of the second. Then in the third round, I have the Falcons taking Jackson Carmen, offensive guard from Clemson in the third round, a solid pick there. J.K., Cincinnati Bengals, this particular mock, I got him taking Patrick Surtain, cornerback from Alabama with that first pick. Nick Bolton, linebacker, who can run all over the field from Missouri in the second round. And then a weapon for Joe Burrow, Hunter Long, tight end from Boston College there in the third round. The Cowboys mock. You know, obviously, we don't know what's going on with Dak Prescott here, and but I got the Cowboys taking Trey Lance, quarterback from North Dakota State here at number 10 position.
Yeah,
you know, until we know for sure what's going on with Dak Prescott, as he's still not under contract. Cowboys taking Wyatt Davis, offensive guard from Ohio State, in the second round, and Javonte Williams, running back from North Carolina in the third round. My beloved Saints, a little bit of a surprise. I'm taking Travis Etienne, running back from Clemson. You know, Latavius Murray's been great, so how much longer can he do that? So I got him taking a running back to pair with Alvin Kamara. And then my cousin in the second round, Paris Ford, safety from Pittsburgh. You know, Marcus Williams is a free agent. Obviously, if you're a Saints fan, you definitely want him to be re-signed. But until it's done, you got to start looking at that position. Then you got to look at Malcolm Jenkins and his age, even if you keep Marcus Williams. Tyler Wallace, wide receiver from Oklahoma State, speedster. The Saints could still use some help at the wide receiver position. You watch that playoff game against Tampa Bay, none of them jokers was getting open. And so you need somebody that can stretch the defense and somebody with some speed. And then Saints has 2 3rd round picks. Elijah Smith, edge rusher, sleeper out of Northern Iowa, is a player to watch in this draft as well. Talk about Jacksonville and the Jets since they got the number 1 and number 2 picks.
Woo,
what have they been doing in the draft? Jacksonville,
I know.
Trevor Lawrence, obviously the number 1 position. Jacksonville's 2 first-round picks. Had him taking Creedy Pay, athletic pass rusher from JQ's favorite school, Michigan, with his second pick. So they addressed the quarterback position.
Mm-hmm.
They addressed an edge rusher there in his second pick in the first round. Top of the second round, Jacksonville come back with another important position. J.C. Horn, Joe Horn's son, cornerback from South Carolina, first pick of the second round. Pat Freerman, tight end from Penn State, giving Lawrence a weapon. And Hamza Nasruddin, the safety from Florida State, who also could be a very sleeper in his draft as well. Then the Jets here, you know, all indications are looks like the Jets are moving on from Sam Darnold and going to try to trade him.
Yeah.
So I got him taking Zach Wilson at the number 2 spot, quarterback from BYU. And then you get him some help with the offensive line. Tevin Jenkins, offensive tackle. JQ's cousin, offensive tackle from Oklahoma State. And then you come back in the second round to get Christian Barmore, defensive tackle from Alabama. And then you get another Crimson Tide player. You get another offensive lineman, Deontay Brown, offensive guard from Alabama. Then in the third round, not sure he'll be a starter, but the Jets could use some depth at the wide receiver position. Tamorian Terry, wide receiver from Florida State. So those are just some
good picks.
Six teams in what I have been doing in this particular mock draft.
Man, if Urban Meyer selects somebody from Michigan at the top of the second round, I would be stunned. Keep forgetting that's Urban Meyer and Jacksonville.
Yeah. Taking the guy from Michigan in the first round with a second first round pick.
Oh, yeah, that same difference. Yeah, no. I would be shocked. Because he takes that damn
way,
so I don't know if he's
going to
do that.
When you're like, in that position, you need to throw that stuff out, man. You gotta get
he might take that
dude
off the board. Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. The only reason why, they need a tight end, so I can see that in the third round. The one in the second I don't know about, because they used 3 picks in last year's draft to get linebackers. So unless they are just saying they are giving up on one of them, to go use a second round pick on another one would be shocking to me just based off what they did last year. You basically said one of those guys didn't do it for you, and we're replacing you already with a second round pick. So Chan would be interesting because, you need as many good corners as you can. It just depends. In that draft, you had a kid from Oregon going before us or after us?
In this particular draft, Penei Sewell going number 3 to Miami.
Oh, okay. So then, yeah. Then they might have their hands for us. They might end up having to trade down. I can see that. Because if he and Chase are both gone, then, yeah, they'll be in the bind. That would be another one of those worst-case scenarios for them if that happens.
Worst-case scenario.
If we had a draft and we were the guys being drafted and we had a draft board and in order for this podcast, the number 1 person that would be drafted on this podcast would be JQ. He'd be the number 1 draft pick. The number 2 draft pick, and it was tight, but it would be Curtis McDaniels. Number 3 pick, Andre. Number 4 pick,
I know Rob. Where this is going.
Now, I would be an undrafted free agent, but I would go ahead. I would go ahead of this guy that can't remember the questions from New York. I would at least be picked up by a team.
Lou, come on, Lou. What you got for that?
Come on, Lou. I'm just kidding with you, Lou.
Yeah.
We're having so much
I'm just kidding with you.
JC will be number one. I agree with that. JC's gonna fire.
No, I wouldn't. Rob would be number one. Hey, I'm not doing damn three rounds of my grass every week.
Hey, the way he brutally beat Curtis and I down with Carson Wentz.
By Andy Dalton.
The way he beat us down, he had to be number one. I'm sorry, he had to be number one.
What about your Cowboys, Gary? Curtis, what did you think about those picks for you guys? Trey Lance. What about that, man?
The Cowboys are such a mystery. Jerry Jones is such a mystery. But what I did see with the Cowboys, Jerry and his son, when Drew Pearson and that guy from the
Hall
of Fame.
Fame,
I don't know how did he get that job? Yeah, how did he get that job?
And I posted that. I was so happy for Drew Pearson to finally be
good
a member
job,
of the Hall.
Yeah.
You know, with being on the all-decade team in the 70s, all-decade team.
Oh, deserve it, rightfully.
For them to take this long. I mean, it was.
Yeah.
And, you know, be one of the most iconic catches involved with, you know, you got the catch. You know, with Dwight Clark and, you know, in Montana. And you got the Hail Mary from Roger Staubach to Drew Pearson.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm happy.
It's all good. Yeah, no, he was long overdue. What a good class, if you will, too. And maybe the Hall were Cowboys fans. That's why it probably took so long. So, but other than that, you know, I'm just throwing shots at you, Gary, but it's all good. So, you know, I get it. I know. It's all – I'm just on a serious note, just like you did for Lou, definitely overdue. Two Christians was a great pick too as well. Just really quickly, Rob, I'm going to talk to you about Falcons here. Just regarding that first pick, I think we're going to get Ja'Marr Chase number one. That's my guy. I do not think we're going to get a quarterback. I think that in Arthur Smith's mind, he thinks Matt Ryan is better than Ryan Tannehill. We don't have to have a great quarterback, so that eliminates any dream of getting Watson or any quarterback. He's going to go with Matt Ryan all the way through. We're getting the best player. Terry Fontenot is from LSU, that area. We're getting Ja'Marr Chase. I'd be ecstatic if that happened, honestly. So, you know, again, best player available, if you will. I love the second-round pick of the defensive tackle. You got to beef up the offensive line. You got to get a safety somewhere. Richie Grant, maybe third round, if you will. But that's somewhere kind of the mock draft, if you will, that I'm thinking for the Falcons, too. But we always appreciate you taking the time, if you will, to put all that up for three rounds, 2 minutes. So I know it's a lot of research. You do a good job as far as putting that in and giving us some fodder to talk on the show. Anything else you got to say, Lou, about the Jets here? Because I was going to ask Rob about the fact they were actually, the Jets were actually eyeing Juju Schuster and Will Fuller, if you will.
Juju Smith-Schuster, huh? Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first we got to do, by the way. Yeah, I'm hearing some other rumors of, you know, they're taking some other players. But I don't believe anything until I see it signed the dotted line. Although Schuster, that'd be a good pick, you know. He's good for Pittsburgh. Maybe he can help us out. But I'm still in here where I'm on Watson.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
It'll be interesting to see if Houston is still saying they're going to keep Watson, but we'll see. You know, we'll see if it, you know, gets to the point where he holds out in training camp or something along those lines. That will probably be the way to force the trade if he's really seriously. But, you know, Houston is still saying, hey, they have no intention of trading Watson. So I still want to watch. I still want. But all
the Rocket said the same thing about James Harden. They traded him a whole week later.
Right. Yeah, it's all forced.
All indications are the Jets are moving on from Sam Darnold, and so it looks like they're going to go with the rookie quarterback.
It's about time.
Hey, you made a comment about Terry Fontenot. No, Terry Fontenot.
But we also need a strong safety.
Coming from the Saints. The Saints, for whatever reason, does not draft LSU players.
Why is that?
True. They draft all the Buckeyes.
That's true. Yeah.
The keys
in your own area, why not? I mean, you're from New Orleans and LSU is right near there and you don't drive anybody from there, why not?
I can tell you why, because it makes them appear like they're lazy. Even though those guys are good, it makes them feel like they're lazy. Like Dan Scotland was going to draft out the backyard. So I think sometimes they overdo drafting local kids because they don't want to make it seem like them being so close to them skew their talent evaluation from a scouting department. I do. I think they overdo it sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's understandable.
Falcons don't
draft. But you saw that about Sam Darnold.
What happened to a good local home talent? I mean, doesn't that count for anything anymore?
It does. I was just throwing it out there.
Yeah. And I don't think it's because they didn't like any of the players from LSU. It's just sometimes it's just the way the draft falls, right? And I mean, you look at Devin White. We weren't in a position to draft Devin White a few years ago at number 5 overall.
Right.
We weren't in a position to draft Joe Burrow last year. We weren't, and so we.
I think it was just the way the draft falls sometimes.
And thankfully, you're not picking that high.
I think if Burrow it would have been a better year for the team as well.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah, I read a story today. They said that Shanahan likes Sam Darnold a lot. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
Good,
an eye on what's going to happen, too, guys, with Kirk Cousins, too, man. Keep an eye on what happens.
He's your problem now.
His contract is definitely going to be up. Or they're trying to debate what they will, like, re-sign him, because I think March 9th, we're going to think about what happens with that. They have to sign that extension, right, $35 million or something like that. So Cousins may be an option for the 49ers here or somewhere, because I'm sure Minnesota doesn't want to keep paying him. So that's going to do another interesting thing as well. Really quickly, Rob, where does Curtis's favorite quarterback, Carson Wentz, end up?
I think he's going to wind up with the Colts. I think Frank Wright, coached him in Philadelphia. I think he's going to take a shot at him, right? Trying to see if he can revive his career. Wentz had his most success under Frank Wright, and I think Wright takes a shot at him, and I think he gambles. Maybe he wins his gamble, maybe he loses his gamble, but I think he takes a shot at him. And I know the rumor is the Colts and the Bears, but I think for some reason the Colts will be that team because Wright thinks he'll be a good fit for him to rejoin them and maybe revise his career. Gives him some kind of continuity, somebody Wentz is familiar with. I think that's where he winds up, in my opinion, with the Colts.
Yeah, because if I'm the Bears, you might as well just resign Trubisky for that. They're the same dude. Like, why would you do that? Come on, man. You're giving up a lot of capital to bring the same dude in there with a different haircut. That's crazy. I wouldn't do that. The Colts also is only interesting because how much money they owe Wentz. And you've got a running back and your two wide receivers. If you let T.Y. go, you can save money there in terms of not paying those positions. But they got a really good defense, and those guys are going to be coming up for a season here pretty soon. And I'm not quite sure what the one thing is on that offensive line. So that will be my only worry about them, the Colts, making that decision, because you're going to have to give so much money. They're still a young linebacker. They guys are going to have to pay, the offensive line they're going to want to keep together. So with the money work out, because if you do that, you Carson Wentz is being able to take a leap that high to put you in, we're in championship or bust mode, because I don't know who else views Carson Wentz like that with that contract. So I'm not sure about that just because it's money, because they got a lot of other good players. They're going to either pay in now or they're going to have to pay here pretty shortly.
Yeah. The Colts have a really good offensive line. I mean, Anthony Costanzo did retire, though, so you may have to look at, getting the right tackle. But their interior offensive line is one of the best in the league. I mean, I do have to get the edge rusher from Miami, Jalen Phillips, who can, give them another pass rusher on that defense, too, in this mock draft. So it'll be really interesting. But I think that's where they gamble and take a shot at Wentz.
We keep losing people, unfortunately, in 2021. We lost Leon Spinks. I know you had mentioned that, too. JQ saw the text come over. We also lost Marty Schottenheimer today, too, so which is kind of sad. Yes. And I know you hear a lot about he was a great coach for the Cleveland Browns and also going back to the Chiefs. If you will, and just even though he had a unfortunate, just tough luck in the playoffs, if you will, man, I still remember Ernest Biner, man, that's just so sad. But he was a great coach and a very innovator too. So just want to passed the to his family too. So just a really good coach, really good person too. So that's something that's kind of sad from that perspective too. So if you guys want to talk about that as well.
Yeah,
all right,
fellas,
so I'm
going to
wrap it up, and hopefully we'll be back next week, unless if my schedule goes haywire again.
Thanks, Lou.
All right, Lou.
Luckily, I had the night off.
You.
All right, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it. But, yeah, that's very well said there, Andre. But, yeah, Marty Schottenheimer was definitely one of the true greats that, you know, unfortunately never won the Super Bowl, but his teams were always a contention. His teams were always nasty and competitive. They were physical. You know, he coached Derek Thomas there in Kansas City. You know, they had a fantastic team that just couldn't get over the hump in the playoffs. And then the dog pound in Cleveland, man. It's probably the last time Cleveland was even competitive was when he was in there, you know. But Ernest Byner, who was the other running back he had? Keith?
Mack.
Mack. So, I mean, they had that 1-2 punch at running back. Bernie Kosar at the quarterback position. So, I mean, he had some really good football teams. And, you know, unfortunately, never had an opportunity to win the Super Bowl. So, you know, definitely our prayers go out to his family.
Yeah, I kind of knew the end was there when they said that he went to the hospice. I was like, damn, you know, once you go to the hospice stage of it, grandma's on bar all the time. So, you know, just to echo what y'all said, man, just ran into some really bad luck. Follow accounts, really good dude. Son is still out there doing it in the league. So, you know, West Dolphins prayers out to the Schottenheimer family.
Well, you don't want to speak ill of the dead, and he had some solid teams. But I would not put him in the great category. Absolutely not. But I will say that, you know, I will say that if he were coaching Kansas City Sunday, he'd have had his team better prepared than what Kansas City was in the Super Bowl. I will say this, because he played up against a lot of great teams. He went up against, you know, John Elway and those teams like that. You know, that's really what kept him from being in that Super Bowl and having that opportunity is those Denver teams. Loss of a, you know, good man, coach, of course, family man. Our hearts and prayers are with him from our family. Here at our podcast to his, I know that. Curtis, what do you got to say about this?
Oh, the same thing. You know, John Elway went to 5 Super Bowls, and they were going over Cleveland. And if I remember correctly, when Jim Kelly and them got good, I think they were going over Cleveland also. And that was Schottenheimer. But Kansas City has had a great program since the inception. I believe Kansas City was in the first Super Bowl. They won the third Super Bowl, and Kansas City has been a good team all the way through all of football for a long time.
Yeah, did you know he was 8th all-time in wins? I didn't know that.
Yeah, that was over 200
big
wins.
Big shot, Rob. Go ahead.
Yeah, until I looked at him, I didn't know he was 8th all-time in wins. You say he's not can't be a great coach. I was like, top 10 all-time in wins is kind of hard to argue with, though.
Yeah. I think he's one of the best coaches that never won a Super Bowl. Yeah, but absolutely. Definitely one of the best coaches that never won a Super Bowl. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm ready to put up some different closing music for us this week. But this kind of ends our live portion of the show. So we thank you all for tuning in to another great edition of Talking Sports on the 12th Man. We're going to be back at you on next Tuesday night. Next Tuesday night is going to be February 16th. You don't want to miss it. So next week, 2 days after Valentine's, men, make sure you take care of your women here this weekend. And but next Tuesday night, we're going to be on 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for our friends on the West Coast. Once again, we're back on next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, people. We're getting ready to go into our OT portion of the show. You can click on the same link to get the rest of the show on this week. Good night, people.
Damn, Andre, that shit is loud, bro. You got to, like, bring it in at, like, a 3. You brought it in at an 8, like, pow. Anyway, good night, good people.
Man.
We'll talk next week.
You're a DJ, man. You got to have it on the right level, man. You got to mix it.
I just figured, what the hell, go all in, man. That's what I figured, man, you know, because y'all looked like y'all was sleeping, man, so I had to wake y'all up, man. Straight up.
Wow.
Big shot. I didn't realize how loud it was.
You got to have a nice undertone sound, man.
Yeah, boy, that thing was loud.
I was like, big
anyway,
shot, yeah.
Well, when I do my mock draft this next week, I don't know. You may go a little lower in the draft after that. I'm just saying. Anyway, stay tuned, folks.
I didn't realize how loud it was coming in.
I want to see your mock draft, Jerry.
He was ready to cut you off after you said that. He was going to end the whole Zoom call. You know what?
Just really quickly on a serious note, this is talking about quarterbacks because, you know, I don't want to come across as a shot to Tom Brady because, you know, again, you know, he's done his thing and respect him and as a sixth rounder, he's done more with his career and everything like that. I just felt like there's a lot of like, look how great Tom Brady is. And it kind of made me think about, I had a good conversation with a good buddy of mine. We were talking about black quarterbacks and how we were not given the same opportunities. And, just to kind of compete against that level, because obviously it's like we know what Tom Brady is, and this is like we got to put him on a pedestal. And I just think about like, you know, a guy named Charlie Ward back in the day that played for Florida State, and he had an opportunity to either go to NFL or go to the NBA, and I guess he didn't think he was going to be drafted that high. But if he would have had an opportunity, I just wanted to see him play in the NFL because I thought he was a talented guy. I mean, I don't know how he would have turned out, but just the fact that he was a great player at Florida State, very cerebral. He was about 6'1", 6'2". He wasn't that tall, but I just really wonder how he would have played out in the NFL, because Tony Dungy was a huge fan. He was like, man, that guy would have been a great player. So I just kind of think about opportunities kind of lost from that perspective. I know it kind of went a little serious, but, you know, I just kind of had a good conversation with my boy. We were talking about this, man. I just really hope that as we progress, that we're going to get the same opportunities moving forward, too. So I know that was something that was on my mind, if you will, too. So I just wanted to say that, if you will. So yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, at the time, Charlie Ward, you know, he chose the NBA at the time over the NFL because his, you know, his draft stock was not that great for the NFL. He turned out to be a first-round pick in the NBA. He was able to play a long time, you know, and maybe he would have got drafted in the NFL. But, you know, he would have definitely had to prove himself to be a starter to get a big contract, whereas he was proven to be a first-round pick in the NBA from the get-go. So I guess he took the safest route possible from a money standpoint, to whereas if he got drafted in the NFL and would have been a backup his whole career, he obviously, you know, made more money in the NBA, and I think he took the safest route there. But you're right. It would have been nice to see, you know, what he could have done in the NFL. Because Russell Wilson was a third-round pick who exceeded all expectations. Could Charlie Ward have possibly done that too? Possibly. Like you said, Tom Brady, sixth-round pick, exceeded all expectations. So it would have been nice to see what he could have done. But I guess, you know, looking at his objective, he took the safest way to – you know, to make millions.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
And, you know, the other thing about it is, and I hate Tom Brady, and you know I've hated Tom Brady since he was 18. But I think a part of that is because we all hate that dude, right? But if this is Dak Prescott or Matt Ryan or Drew Brees, and they've won 7 championships, you would be pissed off if they didn't give them that same level of adulation they gave to Tom Brady. It's just the fact that it's Tom Brady, and we just hate that dude, and they keep throwing him in our face. But if that was your quarterback, or quarterbacks you like, and he gets the 7, you got to. That's why I just turned the TV off, because, I mean, I know that was going to happen. But I had to sit back and be objective for a second. Was like, if that was my QB and he got to 7, yeah, you better give him all his roses while he's still alive. You know what I mean? I want him to be on TV every day. I'm going to need you to talk about it because it's on another level. So we gotta sometimes put it also into perspective that because we hate that dude doesn't mean that given his accomplishments that, you know, if the situation is reversed, we would want the same thing for our guy.
There's a hate respect.
Well,
hate respect, as I said.
Well, what I
yeah,
would say
sure.
is this, is if one of those other quarterbacks that you mentioned had done that, had been to the 10 Super Bowls, had won, you know, 7 of those, would they be at that level that Tom Brady is? I'm going to have to say I don't think they would if they were black. I really don't. I think they would, yeah, we'll put him in the conversation, or, yeah, he's pretty good, but, you know, he had a really good defense that year, or it's the coaching or whatever. I don't believe that if it were a black quarterback that he would get the same props as a white quarterback. I really don't.
Maybe 10 years, 20 years ago, maybe. But you can't. It's hard to get away with that right now in 2021. If he was, you know, whatever goofy name I could give
him,
he was white dude.
I think
7.
I think. Let me hold you there. I think 2020, they made all that stuff popular again. So
right.
I think absolutely, if it was 2021 and this was happening, well, I don't. I think this would have been, if it were 4 years ago, 5 years ago,
mm-hmm.
with away from that
yeah.
previous disaster,
mm-hmm.
I think what you're the point that you're making, JQ, I think would be correct. But I don't believe in this environment, in right today, that would happen. This is Black History Month. A lot of great people that have, you know, died and put their lives on the line and everything else, you know, and I have to be honest, I don't believe that in this environment that a black quarterback with the same accolades for the last 20 years would get the same props as Tom Brady.
I agree.
Well,
I would hope they would. They would with me. They would with me.
Right.
Even more so because I would probably like them, and I hate Tom Brady anyway.
Go ahead, Rob. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. You look at the simple fact, you know, the coach from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I think he's the quarterback's coach, Clyde Christensen, where he went on TV saying that Antonio Brown ran the wrong route on the touchdown in the game. Right before the end of the half, and the media twisted that as praise for Tom Brady, that the guy ran the wrong route and Brady still read it and got him a touchdown. And
Brett Favre.
Right.
So they dog Antonio Brown out for running the wrong route, but they praised Tom Brady for still, you know, seeing it, getting the football. I mean, it's little things like that the media does. You know, especially when it comes to, you know, African American athletes, and I watch football all the time when Brett Favre days. Brett Favre doing a triple coverage more than any quarterback I've ever seen in my life, and they were always praised how strong his arm was. Oh, he's got great confidence in his arm. You see how he tried to squeeze it in there, and then he turned around and he saw Donovan McNabb and Michael Vick on the triple coverage. Oh, what an idiot. You can't see those three guys over there? If, you know, and I know that
I
was
agree.
15, 20 years ago, but,
I agree. Yep.
You know, it still exists today, unfortunately. It still does, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Well, Curtis, I know you want to weigh in on this. Curtis,
well,
what do you got?
The sport is 70% black. It is a black sport. And I grew up, my first Super Bowl was Super Bowl III because my dad had two guys he went to high school with that were on the Kansas City Chiefs team. And I saw that team as a young man. So, and I knew, I grew up with a guy that his dad worked for the NFL Films. So I knew about Bart Starr and those teams that Green Bay had to win the first two Super Bowls. But the one that was related to me, because we knew people, was Super Bowl III, and the Cowboys were in Super Bowl V. So I've been watching football for a long time. But I did grow up when there was a thing out there that black guys weren't smart enough to be quarterbacks.
Yep.
The first black quarterback I ever saw was playing for the University of Michigan. And I think his name was Dennis Franklin. And Ohio State forever and ever was having a hard time putting in black quarterbacks. Alabama.
To be all the more reason to be a Michigan fan than Ohio State fan.
That had a hard time trying to put in
black quarterbacks. They wanted to recruit black players back in the day.
Yeah.
Talked out.
And I grew up with that we weren't smart enough, that we weren't smart enough to be quarterbacks. So the NFL started with that kind of belief. Now,
we're too athletic.
I was lucky enough in my young time, the Denver Broncos had a guy named, I think his name was Marlon Briscoe, was a black quarterback in the NFL. He wasn't a starter, but he was a black quarterback in the NFL. So I knew it was possible.
That's some really good history there.
Yeah, I've been a football fan. My dad got me on the football. He never played it, but he went to Columbus East High School when he was at Columbus. Another one of the guys he went to school with was the guy that was part of the Purple People Eaters in Minnesota. The guy that has the longest wrong way fumble recovery.
Yeah. Look how long it took the SEC to recruit black players. I mean, the SEC
took
forever. Sam the Bam Cunningham from USC ran all over Alabama and Bear Bryant. And you know what Bear Bryant said? The classic statement.
I gave me one of them.
We got to get us some of them. Yeah. I got to give me one of them. Sam the Bam Cunningham just ran all up and down on Alabama, and Bear Bryant said, I got to give me one of them. And that's when the SEC started recruiting black players. So they were one of the last major conferences to start recruiting black players.
But I do remember Condridge Holloway for Tennessee. And Condridge Holloway was like a hero at Tennessee. And he was something else in college.
Yep. Good job. I know we're wrapping this up. I know it's been a long night for JQ and the family. So I just want to say really quickly that before we get ready to do our last little point here, I do want to talk about Steph Curry and the Warriors here. And that's a good call, too, as far as what's happening with them. I'm a little nervous because, again, I think I don't want everything to go on Steph's back because he does need some help at some point. So I hope he doesn't get worn out because he went off of 58 points, if you will. But you do wonder, you know, he was off getting kind of back in his groove. But don't wear it out, Steph, because we're definitely going to need you down the stretch, if you will, too. So especially since Clay is still going to be out. So Kelly Oubre can't shoot.
What?
So, yeah, what? What? Yeah. That's what
if he don't go off like that, there will be no down the stretch because you won't be in the playoffs. That dude's got to play. I told you before the season started when Clay got hurt, I said, Mr. Two-time MVP, you got to basically pull you a Damian Lillard and drag your team into the playoffs. This is what they pay you to do. You got championships. You got your two MVPs. I want to see you do it when you don't have all your chips there. I'm not asking you to be the one seed or even in the top four. But he's got to have that Warriors team in position for that 7th, 8th seed, in my opinion. A lot of people are looking at him like, yeah, okay, when everything's not, you know, sunny and rosy, What can you do? You still got talent around him out there now. Let's not act like you don't have talent still. You still have talent, but you don't have Clay. What can you do without Clay? I think this. I told you that before the season started, and I still think the same thing. Now, to me, he's doing this thing. They're about right where I thought they would be, on that 9-8 line right now. But if you hold him back,
hey, number 10,
and you
right
drop
now.
Down to the 13, they're down to 10
number
now. 10. If you drop down to 13 or 14,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
you can't
yeah.
do that. He is their only chance to make the playoffs, even if they get routed. In the first round,
you can't.
You got to play.
I don't think they make it.
You can't have.
I don't think the Warriors make the playoffs.
You gotta get rid of that dude.
I just
Sorry.
Don't. Yeah, I think the West is too loaded. I don't think the Warriors. I think the Warriors just missed the playoffs. I think they're somewhere. They're number 10 now. I think they're going to be somewhere around 9, 10, 11. Like Andre said, Curry is bringing a lot of energy. I think he's. You know, he's used to having some other weapons on that team to kind of bail him out a little bit. But I think he's going to be tired at the end of the season. I just don't think they're going to make the playoffs this year. Draymond Green is a triple single guy. He's not a triple double guy. And
that's true.
So,
that
so
is
he's
not
gonna,
true. That dude is averaging double digit assists.
That dude sucks, man.
Draymond
terrible,
Green.
Man.
It's not
he's a double
guy,
single
another
guy.
Score that he needs.
Oh,
Wiseman is a
God.
Good talent.
He's no Paul George.
And Wiggins has never lived up to his potential. They can't do it without Klay Thompson. And obviously, if a healthy Klay Thompson was there, I think the Warriors make the playoffs, maybe even the top three or four seed if they have Klay. But I don't think they make the playoffs this year. I really don't.
I'm saying he's going to play, JK. He's going to get tired out. He's going to give us all. But he's going to be.
LeBron's 36
out.
Years old. He played 47 minutes the other day and had a triple double. And you telling me, come on, man.
He'd be taking load management, though. You know that's the truth.
LeBron ain't missed a game yet. He's playing back to backs. You talking about letting him sit out for what? You paying him all that money or two? He's a 2-time MVP. That dude is supposed to be playing and putting it out there for them. Just moving to that brand new building.
He is playing.
But you're talking about resting. I guess this is my point.
No.
They
keep
not
that.
Gonna win
this,
man. Andre's
about...
got a man crush on Steph Curry.
No, that's not a man crush. Did I say anything about resting him? I said he's gonna get tired. That's all I said. I said he's gonna get playing. He keeps scoring 58. He's gonna get fired, and it wore down. That's all I said. And Kelly Oubre be shooting the guys and stuff too. So that's all I'm saying.
Well, he's gonna get tired.
He's
gonna get tired. But guess what? There's lots of other teams that are gonna be dealing with injuries. Right now, you have teams that are healthy, but every team is gonna go through a stretch. Gonna go through a stretch where they're gonna lose somebody, and maybe even lose one of their key players. Do they have that opportunity? You know, right now they're right there for that opportunity of the last final spot. Because if you look at that 10th where they are now to that 4th spot, there's only one or two games separating all those teams, just like last year. So with that said, it's just a 62-point game here and a 49-point game there, and maybe they're in. So do they have that opportunity with a player of that caliber? Absolutely. They do.
Now let's see, sit together.
It's all going to be on how things go.
What the problem is.
We know one team that's not going to be there, and that's going to be the Pelicans.
Hey, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised.
And why would you name the New Orleans Pelicans? You know, why would you name a team that? No wonder, Unibrow, what was his name, Anthony Davis? No wonder he wanted to leave. Who would want to play for the Pelicans?
Oh, wow.
Zion may leave next year, too. He's no Pelican.
He didn't have the check to play for the New Orleans Pelicans with punk ass. He didn't have the check to play for us. Hey, the Pelicans have won 4 in a row, man. Stay off my Pelicans. We turning it around.
Oh my God.
Lonzo Ball playing like an all-star. Zion and Brandon Ingram playing like all-stars. You better watch out.
I give you Ingram and Zion.
Huh?
Yeah.
I said I give you Ingram
and
Zion. You start counting on Lonzo.
Don't depend on Ball. If that's what your case is, it's not going to be the Pelicans.
Not, but I will have to say,
it's
here,
the
you,
Pelicans.
You the way he's playing right now on the defensive end and the way he's shooting the basketball, look out.
Yeah, like this.
Yeah.
But he ain't got
he's
no
tricky,
thumb.
Man.
Look out.
I told you, I've seen that show in L.A.
I guarantee you the Blazers will finish under the Pelicans this year. Guaranteed.
Oh,
now, tell us
oh really?
Oh,
really?
But
really,
the Pelicans will pass the Blazers.
Rob, are you willing? Oh, hang on, guys,
ball.
For a minute. For a minute. I'm willing to bet you $100 on that.
Well, I'm not a gambling man. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, you bet you're not. You know, you damn right you're not.
No, I'm not going to do that.
But there's not a Pelican queen out there that is a gambling man. They're gambling queens.
We can bet in the,
so that's why you won't.
No. Well,
wow.
I bet a dinner. Hey, I bet
this went south real fast.
Just for that,
I
cannot wait for my next week's draft.
When
oh my
the
gosh.
Blazers finish lower than the Pelicans this year, I want to go. You got to take me to the finest of all restaurants in Portland. All right.
I do every time you come
now,
over.
I don't.
I do that
I
anyway.
I don't think this is going to happen, but. In the event the Blazers spend the hell of the Pelicans, you get to go to your restaurant of your choice in New Orleans or Tampa on me. If it happens. I don't think it will, but if it happens. So,
oh,
that's
it will.
Bet.
It will.
I
it will.
Wait to see this happen. Oh, my goodness.
Now, I know the Blazers are hell of
I'd like to hear from the number
now.
One draft pick. If you were going to pick, if you were going to pick between the Blazers and the Pelicans, who would you think, JQ, who do you think would have a better record at by the end of the year?
Is CJ still
with?
Hurt?
CJ's still hurt. He'll be hurt for another few games.
How long? How many
is probably
two, is that?
Probably two, three games. Probably. Come on, don't make it up on
you. No, that's
yeah,
tough. Because I think that Zion and Brandon Ingram are both playing really good ball. But if CJ comes back healthy and Wayne Dancy just put on a show, I would take the Blazers. But CJ's got to be back quicker than later. If that lingers and it just becomes the Dame Lillard show, then I would pick the Pelicans. But if he gets CJ rolling next to him, I would go to the Blazers.
We're only a game and a half behind y'all right now. I don't know if you know how close it is right now.
You're what?
We're only a game and a half behind them.
You just had
right
a four-game winning streak, and you're still what?
We're a game and a half, but hey, we're turning it around. Hey,
oh my God!
Hey, let the team play out. You just hey, you can talk your trash.
What?
Let's see who's talking trash at the end of the season.
Hey, I'm not going to take it. I'm not going to be that hard on you. I'm really not. Don't worry about it. Okay. I won't.
I'm not worried.
I promise.
Hey,
I'll be a gracious
think
winner.
I we're be better than the Lakers. I think we're going to be better than the Blazers. Now, I'd be peeing in my pants if I would say we're going to be better than the Lakers. I know I ain't going to win that bet.
You might be sitting in a puddle of pee at the end of this season.
Hey, I love this.
Hey. Oh, my God. Oh, man.
And I want my Huckleberry shake, too, when I'm up there, too.
All right.
Man, all right, we're going to wrap this up. JQ, you're not off the hook, man. Again, all I was saying was that I wasn't saying that Steph Curry is not going to play hard or anything like that. I wasn't trying to say that. I was saying
I didn't say that.
That's all I was saying. Okay, just making sure that we're clear.
No, I
think y'all need to have a better team of Brian and Steph Curry.
No, we don't need to have anything.
I think two of y'all will come up with some kind of bet between LeBron and Steph Curry. Hey,
no.
Gary, they got to have a bet too, Gary. They got to have a bet too, Gary.
No.
You got to come up with that.
I only responded to that because I read that Steve Kerr was talking about the other day. I don't even think he played Steph for a lot of minutes in the fourth quarter for whatever reason. I'm sitting at home like, what are you doing? They have this, we got to keep him at 32 or 33 minutes. I was like, then you might as well just tank Dan, because if he's only going to play 32 or 33 minutes, that's not going to work.
Here we go, Gary.
Not gonna work.
We got to set a bet for JQ and Andre. If LeBron plays more minutes than Steph Curry, then Andre owes JQ something. But if Steph Curry plays more minutes than LeBron this season, then JQ, you owe Andre something. What's the bet? Y'all got to come up with it. We're on the show live.
Well, that's a good tease for next week. We'll talk about that next week on the show. In the business, they call that
versus LeBron in minutes. Pelicans versus the Blazers, and who turns the ceiling higher? There we go. We got two bets for talking sports for the 12 man. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a lot of fun. Can't wait to the end of the season now to show Gary up in his sorry ass Blazers, you know, falling down.
Rip City, baby.
Stay tuned. It's going to be a lot of fun here, you know, with these two bets and challenges we got for the rest of the NBA season here, people. Thank you all for tuning in. It's been great talking with you all. We're going to be back on Tuesday night on next week, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific.
Our friends in Honolulu, aloha.
It's going to be 5 p.m. Hawaiian time on next Tuesday night. Thank you all again for joining us. We look forward to next Tuesday night. Good night, people.
Yeah, I'm done. I ain't getting no trouble. I'm good. I'll let y'all next week.
Gentlemen. Blast, wasn't it? Thanks a lot. It was fun.
Curtis.
Yes, sir.
Line of
keep
fun.
Fighting.
And the Pella Queen, sir. Good night, everyone.
Hey.
Have a good
hey.
Night.
Hey, you got to wear a Pelican hat, too. I'm going to add that to the bet.
Pelican hat.
Oh, my God.
On
the show.
I would love to see that. Right. On the show.
If you're on social media, you got to change your profile picture to a Pelican hat, too.
He's good. Look at him. He's going to look good in that Rip City Dame Lillard jersey. I'm having the banners behind him and everything.
Wow.
Oh, man.
I would pay to see that.
I'm
no
out.
Tails, baby.
Gentlemen, have a good one.
Good night, people.
All right,
good night.
Night. I just turned into the biggest. I got a root for everybody that plays against the Blazers now.
I know you do. I just got a root for Alonzo Ball. He'll fail me. Just like he's failing you guys. All right. Bye,
I think
he's
turning the corner. I think he's turning the corner.
Good night,
good night, people.
Good night.